All right. Let me just open us up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share with you an experience I had clear back in, well, say clear back in 2022. You know, these years seem to be going pretty slow lately. So I'm going to share this with you, and we're going to be praying about this tonight because recent developments warrant that. So I want to, for those of you that may not have heard this before, I want to refresh our memory of those who have heard it before, and then I'm going to share a dream, an additional dream that I had, and a couple of other things. So let me get us started with prayer, and then we will go forward. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you are so faithful. I thank you, Lord God, that you do hear and answer our prayers. I ask, Lord God, that you would settle things around us and help us to focus on what you have for us tonight. This is such an important season in our history. Just as Daryl was sharing, what America does worldwide every year to support in foreign aid, $70 billion a year in foreign aid. Think about the nations that would be impacted were it not for that support. The church and the missionaries and the Bibles that go forth. If America was not here, who would send the missionaries? Who would send the Bibles? Who would spread the gospel? We know, Lord, the significance of our country on the world stage, not just because of our foreign aid policies, but Lord God, because this nation was dedicated by a man of God, that the gospel would go forth not only across our nation, but to the ends of the earth. That is our primary call. And in doing so, we as a nation take a stand against tyranny. That is our commission. Lord, open up our eyes and our heart tonight to see the things that we have not seen, to understand the things that we did not know, that we may become stronger prayer warriors, more focused, and push this nation across the finish line and ultimately impact the nations of the earth. I thank you, Lord, that you are here and you are with us. In your precious name, amen. So tonight I'm going to share it was a spiritual experience I had in February of 2022. And this was just before Well, let me just read it. So on February 8th, 2022, the Lord awakened me early to pray. As I prayed, I had the following experience. First, I was taken to an intercessory group in Russia. The Russian prayer group prayed fervently against an invasion into the small neighboring country of Ukraine. As we prayed, I had an open vision of General Milley on the phone with President Putin. I could hear words spoken by Putin. He was not agitated. He was relaxed. He was leaning back in his chair while listening intently to the person on the other end of the phone. Suddenly, something was said that provoked him. He sat up, reached forward, and swallowed Ukraine whole. In the background of this setting, I could hear World War III, playing on a loop as though it was, you know, when you go into a store and they've got, you know, background music, or you're in an elevator and they've got that elevator music. It's just kind of in the background. That's what it was like. Next, I was taken to China, where a group of intercessors prayed fervently against an invasion of China into the small neighboring country of Taiwan. This is a very real possibility. I cannot say more even at that time, but the Lord has revealed more since then. But we've got to pray against this. This one in particular, I knew would launch us into full-scale and irreversible war, America's involvement. And in the background, once again, I could hear World War III playing on a loop. Next, I was taken to Afghanistan. I was praying alongside a group of Afghanis who were crying out to God to stop an invasion into Pakistan. It was at this point that I had an open vision of General Milley. He was speaking on the phone with the second and third tier Taliban leaders. I know this not by their faces, but the Lord showed them to me standing on a three-step staircase to indicate their ranking. When the men were done, so there was the one that was on the top. Milley was not speaking to them, but the second and the third one, he was speaking to both of them. When the men were done, they came down from the staircase and appeared to swarm out like locusts, multiplying as they went until they overtook Pakistan. The momentum from this battle caused them to run faster and multiply quickly as they spread into neighboring nations. In the background, again, I heard World War III. Playing in a loop. And that it was so eerie, this sound. It was World War III. It was though it was being chanted over airwaves to provoke World War III. You may remember in August of 2021, the day that Biden made the decision to pull out of Afghanistan, the Lord awakened me at 2 a.m. with a blaring four-alarm siren. As I prayed that morning, I saw Taliban soldiers overtake the nation of Afghanistan, consuming everything in their path. They expanded from Afghanistan to the neighboring nations southward, eastward, westward, and ultimately they swept down into northern India. They appeared as locusts, multiplying and devouring everything in their path. Now, today, Afghanistan remains one of the top 10 nations in terms of persecution against Christians. Very little is said about this in mainstream media, but it is indeed the case. The Taliban, their cruelty to Christians, their cruelty to the Afghani who aligned themselves with the United States when we were there, it's unmatched. The equipment that was left behind has been used to identify our allies. and they have been hunted down like dogs. Their families, their children have all been violently killed. Terrible, atrocious acts against them. And then they're killed. Because of equipment Biden left behind that had the digital signatures of every person who was our ally. They can't cross borders. Anytime they encounter a member of the Taliban, they can just pull them up, scan them, and if it's determined that they were an ally with the U.S., they will be killed. Christians are treated much the same. It's an atrocious environment that they have been left in. As I said, everywhere I was taken, World War III was playing on a speaker. It could be heard across the nations, and each group of intercessors cried out to God for divine intervention to stop the plans of the enemy. February 23rd of last year, Russia went into Ukraine. It's important to note that what I saw, I knew that it was not the original intent of Putin or Xi to overtake Ukraine or Taiwan. They were being provoked. They were being fueled by outside sources in order to thrust us in to World War III. The military-industrial complex, warmongering corporations and politicians and the media stand to profit the most from a war effort. I believe what I heard in the nations, World War III, was broadcast on all media outlets to sway public opinion toward war. And in this article that I wrote, I said, I strongly advise you to refrain from being sucked into their vacuum. If we allow our emotions to be swayed one way or the other by these sources, we cannot pray according to God's will in this situation. Friends, we must absolutely stop this war effort. The goal of the enemy is to expedite the end times by provoking World War III. And I've been sounding the alarm on this for 2 years through various messages, and here we are at the doorstep. Now, I wrote this last year. The Lord gave this to me before Putin, you know, so-called, invaded Ukraine. If you remember, and for those that are new, I'm going to share this again. I had a dream. This dream, I believe, was in March or April of last year. I'm sorry, I didn't pull up that date. But it is on our website. And I had a dream that I was in this room. I was an observer in this room. And Zelensky was in this room helping to set up NATO forces in Ukraine. Once they were all set up, he had Ukrainian soldiers with him, and they were working together. Zelensky, after everything was all set up, Zelensky, I saw out of the corner of my eye as he slipped out a side door. And when he did, the moment that door shut, the NATO soldiers turned and killed the Ukrainian soldiers. And it was broadcast on the news that the Russian soldiers killed those Ukrainian soldiers. Now, there's been several things that the Lord has shown me about Zelensky. And the reason why it's important for us to see this, and, you know, and I am deeply thankful that there are sources out there that are getting the truth about Zelensky and the war effort over there out. But Zelensky has people on the ground, mercenaries, that are killing his own people. Because he's being paid to provoke war, world war. He graduated as part of the Young Leaders for the World Economic Forum. His agenda is the elite's agenda. He's being told what to do and when to do it. He's an actor. I mean, quite literally, he's an actor. But he is not there for Ukrainians. He's there for the New World Order, for the elite. That is who he works for. And it's important that we remember that when we pray over the situation with Russia and Ukraine. Remember who he works for. God's perfect will is to stop the war effort and to send revival to the nations. If we, as his children, exercise our faith and engage with his spirit, we can win this fight. It's not time for World War III. The Bible is clear. It will come. But now is not that time. Now is not that time. The next vision that I'm going to share, it occurred this Monday. And as I was typing this up, it reminded me of a dream that I had, and I went back through my journal, I actually did have a dream about this in October of last year. So I'm going to share the vision that the Lord had given me, and then I'm going to share the dream. And the reason why it's important that we see how God is confirming this is because the enemy hasn't stopped his efforts. But the Lord is bringing this back to our focus because he wants us to stop their efforts. God wants us, the intercessors, to stop the efforts of the elite. Why? Because as you heard Daryl share, revival is here. The awakening has been here. It started January 29th. The baptism of fire, the Lord awakened me February 8th of this year and said, the baptism of fire, it's coming. And that was the morning that Asbury broke out. God is moving. He is moving in our nation. And there is going to be a day when the movement is so great, so intense, so powerful, so profound, the media will have to report it. They'll have to report it. They'll have no other choice but to do so. Because that will be the news of the day. That's the impact revival will have. I shared last week about revival, about the impact of God on a nation. The impact of God on a nation. And what he will do if his people pray, and how he will thoroughly and completely impact and influence a nation. That is what we've been praying for 24 years. And God said, if we would be faithful to the call of the gatherings, this is what he told my mom, if we would be faithful to the call of the gatherings, we would see revival before war. The enemy's plan was war. God's plan is revival. So Monday, I had a vision. Strengthening of the Taliban. Leaders of Afghanistan had become very empowered by the slaughter of the innocent. I saw them becoming empowered. What did that look like? They, you know, and I just shared about the persecution of our allies and the persecution of Christians. And when the enemy engages in the, you know, in sacrifice, in shedding the blood of the innocent, it empowers those that have been left in charge there. And so what I saw were the heads of the Taliban, and they literally started to get fat. And they were fat with the blood of the innocent. That's what they were fat with. And it brought about an empowerment within them. Day by day, they were expanding in the spirit realm, not in a good way. It was a very demonic in nature. I saw connections occurring across the miles. It ran from Afghanistan to Iran. A strong connection meant to expand their realm. Now, I did some research on this. I just Googled it, really, Afghanistan and Iran. And I found an article that's dated March 3rd of this year. Iran formalized ties with the Taliban. End quote. This move is another accomplishment in the Taliban's slow but persistent push for legitimacy and full international recognition, even if the latter has yet to happen. During the Obama regime, they were pushing for the United Emirates, where the Taliban would then take control over the Middle East. And Obama worked really hard to try to make this happen, but was unable to succeed because U.S. forces were in Afghanistan keeping the Taliban in check. But now that U.S. forces were out of Afghanistan, the Taliban is no longer in check. They are swarming like locusts. While the world is focused on Russia and Ukraine, Russia and Iraq, and now China and Taiwan, the Taliban is shoring itself up for a move that will devastate the region. I remember seeing the Taliban begin to expand, and suddenly from Afghanistan and Pakistan, which had become one in this vision, locusts shot out from their center and began to devour everything in their wake. They began to swarm throughout the Middle East and ran down and outward. They went toward the east and consumed what was left of Pakistan and penetrated and devastated India with an insatiable appetite. They went down and toward the west. They intersected and split at the Red Sea. Some went down into the Sinai Peninsula and some went into Egypt. They continued to multiply as they spread out, and the vision came to an end. That's their objective, devour. I looked it up, And if you get a ton of locusts, 2,000 pounds of locusts, they can consume in one day, they can consume the same amount of food that 35,000 people eat. A ton of locusts can consume the same amount in one day that 35,000 people eat. They are aggressive in their pursuit of food, and they devour everything in their wake. They can clean a field in an hour. I don't know if you've ever watched videos of locusts, and they will come through a field, and what is left behind them is dust. Not a single twig is left. That is what the Taliban is like. But the Lord said, I want you to pray about this, because the elite are pushing them forward. The elite provoked the pullout of Afghanistan. The elite are the ones that are provoking and bringing together the Middle East. The elite are doing this. But the Lord said, I am going to bring revival. The Lord said, my plans are higher. My plans are greater. So in spite of the devastation of the Taliban, the devastation that the elite have planned, in spite of that, my plans are higher. We can read in 2 Kings 17 and 18. In 2 Kings 17, the northern kingdom, and I'm just going to summarize for you, the northern kingdom was taken by the Assyrians. Now, the Assyrians were a vicious people. They had zero mercy. When they took you captive, they put a ring in your nose and they put a chain on that nose ring. I know people pay for nose rings these days, but back then, it wasn't something you were looking for. They put a nose ring in those they captured. They put a chain at the end of that, and they linked that to the person behind you. And they would trail you, as many as they need to, and they would trail you, and you would walk the journey from whatever country you had been captured from, and they would trail you all the way up to Assyria. They would typically capture and take the men from the land. So when they captured the northern kingdom in 2 Kings chapter 17, when they captured the northern kingdom, they took the men from the northern kingdom. They put rings in their noses. They put chains hanging from that nose ring, and they linked them up. They took them all the way up the hundreds of miles to Nineveh, because Nineveh was their capital. We all remember Nineveh, right? Isn't that where Jonah had to go and call them to repentance? Took them up to Nineveh, and they would, if they weren't killed and tortured and then killed, they would put them into bondage. Then they would take the Assyrians and they would bring them down to the northern kingdom, and they would intermarry the Assyrians with the Israelites. So Samaria, which is was the capital of the northern kingdom, they were half Jewish, the descendants from this time period were half Jewish and half Assyrian. This was typical of how they did things. The Assyrian army was so vicious that they would skin their captives alive, and then they would kill them, and they would take the skin of their victims and they would use it for wallpaper in their homes. I'm not even kidding. I'm not exaggerating. That's the viciousness of the Assyrians. In 2 Kings chapter 18, Hezekiah becomes king. Now, if you ask, golly, why were the Assyrians allowed to capture the northern kingdom? Because God sent prophets their way time and time again and told them to repent, and they refused. They would kill the prophets, torture them, until the day came when he lifted his protection off of their nation, and the Assyrians were given permission to come. In 2 Kings chapter 18, Hezekiah becomes king. Now, if you remember, the one that was before him was wicked. But Hezekiah becomes king, and Hezekiah goes through Judah and does amazing reforms in Judah. He removes all of the high places. He brings an end to their child sacrifice. In fact, he brings an end to all idolatry, because he is returning his nation to God. God promised David that he would keep a light in Jerusalem for him. Of course, that light is really Jesus, but he had to keep the lineage going. But Hezekiah really did love God. So when the Assyrians came a-knocking, they first came and announced it, because really, they would have preferred to just capture everybody and not have to go to this bloodbath. When they came and they brought their letter, Hezekiah took that announcement, he took that letter, and he got a hold of God. He reached out to Isaiah, and they sought the face of God for his deliverance. The Assyrian army boasted, at least the ones that came their way, 185,000 men. Now, if you want a picture of that, even Assyria at this time, the land mass alone was over 1 million square miles. They had truly come through and captured the Middle East. And then there's tiny little Judah holding down the fort. Judah really could not have fought against the Assyrian army. But Hezekiah and Isaiah sought the Lord. They repented on behalf of their nation. And Isaiah came back and he said to Hezekiah, I am going to send forth a blast, and I am going to recall this army. They're not going to succeed, and of course, this is not word for word. I'm summarizing. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 27, But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. And he's speaking to the Assyrians. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And let's skip down to verse 35. And it came to pass that night that an angel of the Lord went out. Now, they were all recalled. They were recalled because there was another war that they had to get to, and Judah was so small, it seemed insignificant. We'll come back for you, is basically the message they left. They were recalled back to Assyria, and they were camped waiting for the battle that they were going to engage in. Verse 35, 2 Kings 19, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that an angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 soldiers in one night. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And his son reigned in his stead. Why is that so important? Judah at this time was smaller than New Jersey. The Assyrian land was about the size of the United States and some of Canada. Coming against New Jersey. That's the comparison. They mocked Hezekiah and said, listen, let's make it a fair fight. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can find the men to sit on them. That's how small the nation of Judah was in comparison to the Assyrians. If you can find 2,000 men, I'll even give you the horses. That's the size of the army. That's the size. They didn't even have 2,000 men that could fight. But God. See, God was not finished with the nation of Judah. God was not finished with Hezekiah. God was not finished. He still had his prophet in place. He still had a man who would seek his faith. And because of this, God intervened for the nation of Judah. And that army of 185,000 were recalled, and God smote them all in one night. Why? Because people prayed. The Assyrians, I imagine, based on what I have researched and discovered about the elite, they probably picked up a lot of their cruelty from the Assyrians. Their viciousness from the Assyrians. They study military might and savagery. So when we talk about the elite, that's who we're talking about. Vicious, cruel, They rule through tyranny, through power, through money. And they do not care who they destroy, who they step on, what nation they bring to ruin, as long as they achieve their goal to bring about the new world order. But God, God has raised up his own army to rise up against the elite and to war against their plans to bring about World War III. God has raised up this army right here. God has made a promise that if we would pray, we would see revival and not war. And I know there's prophets out there, and I say that with air quotes, prophesying that war is coming. They're out there, quote unquote, prophesying that judgment is coming. They're out there with their doom and gloom. And is it difficult? Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Are we going to experience struggles? Yep, we're going to experience struggles. But God has raised up an army of intercessors to stand in the gap for this nation. Why? Because this nation sent out $70 billion in humanitarian aid in a year. So Australia said, we're going to pray for that country. Because that country stands against tyranny. When crisis arises, that country sends in the resources to help people. This nation sends out more missionaries and more Bibles than any other country in the world. We still do today. So the elite say, we got to stop the Word of God spreading. You know why? Because when the Word of God goes forth, people have hope. When the gospel is spread, people face death and they don't care. Why? Because they know where they're going. We stand against tyranny. We stand against the elite. We stand against the enemy. And we release the gospel and we send forth help and aid wherever it is necessary. That is what America does. So God is not going to allow America to fall. And we as intercessors, we as children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords need to start getting on the side of the Lord and seeing things from his perspective. It is not his will to bring this about. It's his will to raise up a people who will not shelter in fear, but instead rise up in faith and war against the plans of the enemy and stop his plans to destroy nations by provoking wars, to stop his plans to provoke a war between Taiwan and China. What is the one thing that Xi said would cause him to rise up against Taiwan? If America puts a bunch of military might in Taiwan. That's what he said. So when Biden said, yeah, I think we're going to send $19 billion in military supplies on over there. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. When Pelosi promised that, they knew exactly what they were doing to try to provoke Xi to attack Taiwan. But we are the intercessors. And it doesn't matter what this fraudulent administration does, it's our responsibility to rise up and stand against the plans of the enemy. That equipment can sit on those shores and gather rust. We will stand and push back against the tyranny. We will stand and fight for Taiwan. We will stand through our intercession and fight for Taiwan. And when the Taliban multiplies and swarms across the Middle East, we will stand and we will fight for those living in that region. And when the enemy tries to provoke a war by vilifying Putin, who by himself stands against the elite and their plans, we will say no war. No war. Because they may be playing through the media World War III, World War III. But the intercessors of God say no. Two years ago, I had a dream. This is the last thing I'm going to share, and then we're going to go to prayer. I had a dream, and chaos began to come down the streets. And I had gone for a walk with my grandkids, and we were on the backside on the street just behind me. And when I came around the corner, those people that were, I mean, they had clubs, they had pipes, they had, you know, everything that you can imagine to cause chaos and destruction. They rounded the corner. And when I walked up, I came up and I put my hands up to rebuke them and thrust them back. And they went flying backwards. And I remember sharing that with my mom, and she says, that's the power of the I am. And it just startled me. But that is the power of God within his people. When we rise up in faith to stand against the enemy's plans, the enemy will be thrust back and unable to move forward. So no matter what we see or hear, we have to engage with God's perspective and God's plans, not only for America, but for these nations I've mentioned. We've got to push back the Taliban. We've got to sever their ties with these other nations. They're trying to be recognized as a nation, and they're not. We've got to push back against these plans and instead pray into and plant God's plans and purposes in the land. Don't give up. Stand strong, my friends. Because revival is here. You heard what Daryl said. Revival is here and it's continuing. God is healing people. He's saving people. He's delivering people. And it's a mighty thing that's happening. So let's sow into that with our prayers.